Ravens Report, presented by MedStar Health on WBAL, News Radio 1090.
Back here on WBAL News Radio 1090, Brett Hollander with you here. And we're joined by a very special guest, former Ravens cornerback and first-round pick out of the U. Dwayne Starks is with us. And Dwayne, last night I finished the U Part 2. I have to ask you your thoughts on it. What did you think?
I've got mixed emotions about it. I think I'm a little more disappointed in it than I was.
Really?
I mean, yeah, I think so, man. You skipped over a whole generation of great players. I don't see how you do that.
I agree with you. You're saying, basically, even though you were a part of the first documentary made, which is one of the most famous ESPN 30 for 30s,
right.
Basically, the middle to late 90s were not a big part of it. Is that what you're talking about?
Right. I mean, you're talking about, you didn't hear him mention anything about Warren Sapp. You didn't see anything about other
Ray Lewis?
Right. Ray Lewis, Warren Sapp, a lot more. Kenny Holmes, Kenard Lang.
Dwayne Starks?
It's just a bunch that they skipped over, and I don't appreciate that.
Well, it's interesting because it's a very long documentary. So is the first one. And, you know, the first one kind of covers everything from Snellenberger to Butch Davis, kind of. Like the start of Butch Davis is where they kind of pick things up there. And they obviously at that time don't know they're going to make a second one. But I thought it was amazing to have no Ray Lewis in essentially 4 hours of discussion of a very, at the end of the day, small window of Miami football is incredible.
Man. I mean, I think what they had to face was basically, trying to make the school look positive. I think some of the things they covered in the first series, in the U Part 1, you know, kind of made it seem like, okay, we're building the school for you guys, and you know, by winning and playing football, but you're kind of slapping us in the face in a sense. So Part two, I guess his goal was to probably shed more light on, on the coaches and some of the players that actually played and won the national championship, which you saw. But there was a lot more that wasn't told. A lot of the strikes that went on from the players. He didn't cover that at all. So, you know, it kind of disappointed me. Not because I wasn't on there as much on Part two. I mean, I saw me walking on the field, Florida State game as a captain, but that's about it. But I think he just missed way too much information, or he probably just did not gather that from any other players.
Now, do you know if he reached out to Ray Lewis about being on and Ray said no thank you? Do we know that at all?
No, I don't know.
By the way,
some guys wanted to get paid for doing this show and, you know, for going on television, doing a documentary, but I don't know how true that is.
Interesting. Do you keep up with a lot of your former teammates and talk about these documentaries and, you know, call, email, text back and forth?
No, we don't talk about a documentary. I think we've lived that history.
Right, that's true.
That history is ours, so that's already been talked about and, you know, said and done, and that's over with. But now it's just a part of trying to get back to the type of winning football that the University of Miami was known for.
And by the way, there is a lot of Ed Reed in Part 2. There is. So if Ravens fans haven't seen it yet, you would see a lot of Ed Reed in Part 2.
Yeah. I mean, Ed was on there. Ed was on a documentary. Jonathan Vilma was on the documentary. I believe Santana Moss and, yep, you know, a couple other guys that was there that, you know, you might have not seen in the NFL. But, you know, I think everything turned out to be, you know, I don't know what the masses think of it, but, you know, it's just a lot more that could have been shown, and that's what disappoints me.
What's interesting about Dwayne Starks, though, beyond your talents and being a first-round pick and playing at the U, you are from Miami. You went to Miami Beach High School, and that really was the original premise of the documentary. Not only Snellenberger's recruiting in South Florida, but also kind of the turmoil in South Florida at the time and what the U did to kind of bring everyone together.
Right, all right. I mean, he could have talked about how Erickson stayed in there and recruited guys to get a lot of guys in for Butch Davis. And, of course, Butch Davis did a great job of recruiting as well, bringing the right guys in. especially, you know, guys like Ed Reed, who's known and very popular around the University of Miami and Baltimore, as well as, you know, some other guys that actually played, Andre Johnson, Santana Moss, and all those guys, and how they actually got them in there, and that was pretty cool. But, you know, I don't know, man. I'm just excited that, you know, the University of Miami is still being talked about, even in this dire need for victories.
Yeah, right. Good point. You're still there feeling that. All right, let's talk some Ravens football. This is amazing to me, Dwayne, and you were such a big part of this. The Ravens in the postseason, since they played their first postseason game, and I remember this today, it was a home game, December 31st, 2000, hosting the Denver Broncos. That was the game where Shannon Sharpe caught a deflected pass and went to the house. I believe Jamal Lewis knocked over his former college teammate Al Wilson in that game. The defense played lights out. I think Gus Frerotte was the starting quarterback of the Broncos. He didn't have a shot in that one. But the Ravens' postseason record is 15-7 since that day.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
You started quite the legacy with that, you and that group.
Right. I think I still hold the record. I don't know if I still hold it, but the most interceptions in the postseason. So I think I'm still there. And maybe I think someone else might have been on the verge of my toes. But, you know, I love to think about that.
Yeah,
the postseason for the Ravens, man, is that's amazing. Those are great stats, man. It shows that they're actually out there doing what they have to do. And you know, hopefully everyone's healthy. And it helps, you know, having everyone healthy, being able to play, you know, I can't always pronounce his name wrong, but the Natu, is that how you pronounce
Nata?
It? Nata. He's out there, you know, he got the opportunity to come back last week and play, and that was big. Made some good plays here and there, so.
Yeah.
But postseason is big.
Postseason big. Defense always kind of shows up in January. That's the key. Now, you were a Patriot for a brief period. We were just playing Bill Belichick sound bites from today, and he was doing his typical, you know, monotone, raspy voice. Is that really what he's like when he talks to a team?
No. I mean, Belichick, he just hates the media. That's just, keep it real, say what it is. He just does not like the media because – In a lot of instances, he's correct about certain things, and it's because a lot of people try to have views on what's going on around in this organization when it's not necessarily true. They're just an assumption. But, I mean, I think he can have a better attitude and towards that because, you know, if they don't know and it's not revealed, then, of course, they're going to continue to speculate on what's going on. But, you know, his monotone, he's actually a pretty cool – I really liked Belichick when he was there. He's pretty much straight up honest. You do what he asked you to do, and if you had a problem with it, then you come to him, talk to him, and he was cool with that, you know. And that's why I think a lot of the players actually, well, was there when I was there, actually wanted to be that team leader because I think you had, you know, if you're a team leader, you have more conversations with the big guys, with the coaches, and you know, and you know a little more about what was going on. But you know, Belichick, I like him. He was okay.
Interesting insight. Dwayne Starks, former Ravens cornerback, is with us here for another moment or two on WBAL News Radio 1090. Dwayne, it's always been my thought and premise that the 2000 team could have played any team in NFL history during that postseason run, and that opponent would not have had a chance. That at that point, you guys pretty much decided not to lose, whether it was karma, a lot of talent, clearly one of the greatest defenses of all time. But, I mean, do you agree? Like, it could have been anyone on Super Bowl Sunday. It happened to be the Giants. It could have been anyone in the AFC Championship. It happened to be the Oakland Raiders. But basically, those teams didn't have a shot.
No, I mean, and you're talking about two great teams at the moment. I mean,
right.
They were actually, you know, had a great running game. Giants had a great passing game, great running game with Tiki Barber. And, you know, we were just prepared and ready for everyone. So regardless of, you know, how we did the season, we ended up losing, 12-4 that year. But, you know, just being prepared, we were healthy, we were ready to play, we were focused. And I think that the key to it, I think the coaches were prepared and put us in a great position at every single play of that game. And that was important, you know, and that's the key to a successful team as well. I know we had good players. But sometimes good players are not it's not going to show up if they're not in the right position. And, you know, we make some things happen, and the right calls defensively was called to stop their run. The right calls were called to make to stop their play, almost like we were in the playbook. So made the game pretty simple and pretty easy. So, and you know, I really appreciate that. And, you know, of course, you know, being a part of the best, one of the best defenses ever, is going to always be something for me to be proud about.
Last question, Dwayne. Have you had a chance to see Darrell Revis play in his NFL career?
Darrell Revis, oh, amazing corner. I like him. He's a great guy outside of football as well. And, you know, I sit and watch this kid play. He's strong. You know, he's coming back from the injury that he had, in which you see his play has gotten better from the previous year. So I think he's going to be one of the guys a lot of people talk about and a lot of guys fear.
Dwayne Starks, former Ravens cornerback. Dwayne, we really appreciate your thoughts tonight. Thank you so much.